Yes, Nitzer. So Malka Leifer will now face an Israeli court again next Tuesday night, Australian time, to determine if she is fit and proper to face extradition proceedings in Australia. So as you know, Leifer was charged with 74 counts of child sexual abuse during her time as principal of the Adas Israel School in Melbourne. And she was arrested in Israel earlier this month for allegedly faking a mental illness to avoid court hearings. She's currently being held in a psychiatric facility while being assessed by a government psychiatrist. Now, she was due to face court again this week, but the psychiatrist has asked for more time to assess her. Dusty Ehrlich, an alleged victim of Leifer, told the AJN she's really hoping that this request for extended time will actually result in a positive outcome, in that she said hopefully they'll come back with an evaluation that supports the evidence gathered against her that shows she is fit and proper to face extradition proceedings.
Shane, 2018 is a year full of anniversaries, 70 years to Israel. And last week we discussed a special anniversary for the Great Synagogue, celebrating 140 years. And by the way, later on we are going to talk to the Chief Rabbi of the Great Synagogue, Rabbi Dr. Benjamin Elton, about the celebrations. But another anniversary, which is important to the community, is Moriah College. Is celebrating 75 years. This is quite incredible.
Yes, Nitzer, it was a lovely moment last Tuesday when they sort of went back to Moriah College's roots. Of course, today the school has 1,600 Jewish students based in the world-class Queen's Park campus. But the school, I don't know if many of you, your readers would know, but some of them would, but the school actually had its beginnings in 1943 when a property, which is still an early learning centre for Moriah, at 115 Glenair Avenue in Bondi, was bought by Abraham Rabinovich. Just had a handful of children enrolled, and it was basically just a little cottage with one classroom. Yeah, it turned into North Bondi Hebrew School and Kindergarten. The Hebrew Standard at the time reported that when it was officially opened by Sir Samuel Cohen, he said in his speech that he hoped it would be such a success that it would be a forerunner of many more such educational aids to the progress of the ideals of Jewry. Well, Cohen was certainly right. Today, the school has 7,000 Jewish children graduates, which current college president Giora Fried said, what a significant achievement that is. He said when the school first started, when trams were still rattling through Bondi and Jews in Europe were suffering the most horrendous of tragedies, a group of Sydney Jews got together with a simple mission of trying to establish a Jewish school that would have as happy an atmosphere as possible, so to create a real Beit Yeladim children's home. One more thing I should mention about this was that the occasion brought back many, many past principals, past school presidents, and even five of the original class of 1943 kindy kids. So we had a chat to all of them, and that's also in the article that will be in the paper.
Ah, that's amazing. And we are talking to Shane Dziatnik, special, not special, senior or just a journalist? What do you want?
Senior for another 2 weeks.
Okay. And we are talking to Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Shane, the commissioner opened Human Rights Centre at the Sydney Jewish Museum.
Yes, Nitza. Yeah, the Human Rights Commissioner, Edward Santo, whose great uncle perished during the Holocaust, officially opened this wonderful new addition to the Holocaust exhibition at the Sydney Jewish Museum. It's a human rights centre and permanent human rights exhibition. And he held it as an important exhibition that explores why human rights struggles cannot be ever a marginal issue. So also present at the launch was the Disability Discrimination Commissioner, Alastair McEwen. And in a nice touch, there was Auntie Barbara McConno and her son Michael, who are descendants of William Cooper. Now, William Cooper was the Indigenous man who, just after Kristallnacht, organised and delivered a petition to the German consulate in Melbourne to protest the Nazis' persecution of Jews. The Sydney Jewish Museum hosts 25,000 students per year, which is that's an achievement in itself too.
We are talking to Shane Desiatnik, senior journalist at Australian Jewish News. Shane, big news to the Jewish community. We are all getting older, year by year. Huge development at Montefiore.
Yes, Nitsa, we are getting older. Nothing I can do about that, sorry. But in good news, Montefiore has announced that it will start construction of 79 luxury independent living apartments this year. So the apartments, which are officially on sale now, will be known as M by Montefiore. The organization's president, David Freeman, said the project has been designed to meet the community's changing needs, with people living independently for longer. He said there's a trend in retirement living towards luxury, maintenance-free apartments in a central location. He said the design, finishes and facilities in this project are comparable with the finest offering in the eastern suburbs.
Location. Where's the location there, Shane?
Well, it's going to be located on the King Street side of Montefiore's existing Randwick property.
Shane, before I let you go, I've noticed that you've written an interesting article in this week's edition of the AJN. The title of the article is I Do to Oz.
Yeah, it is an interesting one because the Israel Trade Commission in Australia does a lot of amazing things. Most of the attention of the things they do is the key industries between Australia and Israel, like cybersecurity and fintech, which is also looking to expand their industries between the two countries, and this includes the arts and design and fashion. The commission is assisting two of Israel's top wedding dress designers, Liz Martinez and Liron Maizan, with their first visits to Australia in early March. So Maison will be participating in Bridal Fashion Week in Sydney, and she'll also be going to Melbourne to meet new clients. And she established her business in Tel Aviv 13 years ago when she was only 21, and it now employs 70 staff and has developed an excellent reputation in America and Europe. She told us that she knows Australian brides have opened up to a more modern style, and they're really loving the Israeli designs. So that whet our appetite to come here and explore a potential new market. She said, we all have a deep need for uniqueness and individuality, especially for the bride on a big day. So it's this idea that guides everything she does in creating every dress. Martinez, who's just 27, is one of the young upstarts in the fashion industry, and she finds her inspiration in Israel's natural landscapes, but also its lively inner city neighborhoods and dynamic cultural mix. Her work is admired internationally for being contemporary, imaginative, beautiful, but also unconventional. And she says she developed her creative spirit when she was a child, when she started sewing outfits for local women in the neighborhood. And she said when one day her brother saw 20 women waiting in the living room, they knew that she had something going.
Of course. So Israel is not just exporting high tech around the globe. Also bridal dresses.
There you go. You heard it first.
Shane Desiatnik, senior journalist at the AJN. Thank you so much and have a great week.